السلام. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين، أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الإنسان إنك كادح إلى ربك كدحا فملاقيه. فأما من أوتي كتابه بيمينه فسوف يحاسب حسابا يسيرا وينقلب إلى أهله مسرورا. وأما من أوتي كتابه وراء ظهره فسوف يدعو ثبورا ويصلى سعيرا. إنه كان في أهله مسرورا. إنه ظن أن لن يحور. بلى إن ربه كان به بصيرا. آمنت بالله صدق الله العظيم. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه. السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. أما بعد، الله سبحانه وتعالى عز وجل loves his creation, his servants, and wants goodness and success for all people. But if they suffer, if they fail, if they end up in disaster, this is because of the servants themselves. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ لِيَظْلِمَهُمْ وَلَكِنْ كَانُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ يَظْلِمُونَ. Because Allah does not wrong anyone, it is people who, strange thing is that who wrong themselves, who does zulm, who are unjust to themselves, who is going to burn in hellfire because of alcohol? Not an angel, not another person, but you. Who is going to burn in hellfire because of missing salah or squandering wealth or pornography or fraud or anything, or just ghaflat, heedlessness, just involving yourself in useless thing? Who is going to suffer? An angel instead of you? Me instead of you? Or your neighbor? Or anyone in the past or anyone in the future? No. It is you who will be facing the consequences or facing the music. It is you, not actually anyone else. So that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَلَكِنْ كَانُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ يَظْلِمُونَ. That you, these people, are wrong, they do zulm, they are unjust to themselves. Those people who you think you have done wrong to, you have done zulm upon, you have oppressed them, you have defrauded them, in one way or the other, Allah azza wa jal is going to compensate them. But who will compensate you when Allah is against you? Who is going to compensate you? سو اللہ جل مجدہو نے قرآن مجید میں بھی فرمایا کہ وہ اپنے مخلوق کی بہتری چاہتا ہے. اسی لیے جو میں نے آیت پڑھی, اللہ پاک سب کو کہہ رہے ہیں یا ایوہ الانسان, اے انسان, مطلب تمہاری بہتری میں چاہتا ہوں, اور تم نصیحت حاصل کرو. قرآن مجید کی مختلف آیتوں میں تو اب جو بندے تھے عذاب میں, دنیا میں یا آخرت میں عذاب میں آ جائیں, مشکل میں آ جائیں, تو آپ پھر وہ قصور کیا ہے, کیا کون کر رہا ہے؟ وہ تو اللہ پاک نے فرمایا میں تو کسی پر زیادتی نہیں کرتا ظلم, بلکہ اللہ پاک احسان ہی احسان بندوں کو بار بار موقع دینا, تو وہ ظلم پھر اثر کون؟ اللہ پاک نے فرمایا ولکن کانوا انفسہم یظلمون. اللہ پاک نے یہ نہیں فرمایا یہ دوسروں پر ظلم کرتے ہیں, فرمایا کہ یہ جو اصل گناہگار ہے, فاسق, فاجر, ظالم, وہ اصل میں اپنے اوپر وہ ظلم کر رہا ہے, اپنے اوپر زیادتی کر رہا ہے, کیونکہ جہنم میں تو اس نے آگ جھیلنی ہے, قبر میں بچھو اس کو کاٹیں گے, یہاں کی سردی برداشت ہوتی, جہنم کی گرمی سردی. جہنم میں ایک ایریا ٹھنڈا بھی ہے, یاد رکھیں, ایک تو گرم ہے جو جہنم جہنم, ایک ہے جس کا نام ہے زمحریر, وہاں انتہائی سردی ہے, اتنی سردی ہے کہ مائنس ملین ٹیمپریچر ہو جائے تو پھر بھی اس سے زیادہ سردی ہے. وہاں اکثر جو ہے وہ یعنی جنات کو, شیاطین کو بھی عذاب دیا جائے گا, اور شاید کچھ بندوں کو بھی دیا جائے, کیونکہ بندے کے لیے تو سردی بھی عذاب ہے. آپ دیکھیں سردی آ رہی ہے تو پھر کتنا مسئلہ ہے, بیمار ہو رہے ہیں لوگ, گرمی ہے تو پھر مسئلہ ہے, تو انسان تو برداشت نہیں کر سکتا. تو وہاں تو دیکھیں زمحریر از اے پلیس ان ہیل فائر وچ از دیر از نو فائر ان دیئر, دس ایکسٹریملی کولڈ دیئر, مور دین مائنس ملین ڈگریز یو مے سے, بٹ پیپل وونٹ ڈائی, دے وونٹ فریز, دے ول جسٹ فیس اینڈ ٹیسٹ دا پین, دا ایگنی. سو ہو از گوئنگ ٹو گو دیئر, ہو از گوئنگ ٹو فیس دیئر, ہو از گوئنگ ٹو ٹیسٹ دیئر, اٹس می اینڈ یو, not the person sitting next to, not the person who is coming after us. ہم نہیں برداشت کیسے کریں گے. تو اللہ پاک نے فرمایا میں تو کسی پر ظلم نہیں کرتا, یہ بندے ہی ہے جو وہ کرتے ہیں, وہ کرتے کس پر ہیں؟ اصل تو اپنے اوپر کرتے ہیں, کیونکہ کسی پر زیادتی کریں گے تو اللہ اس کو بدلہ دے دے, کسی کو قتل کر دیا اس کو شہادت کا درجہ مل گیا, کسی کو آپ نے تنگ کیا اس کے گناہ معاف ہو گئے, اور آخرت میں اللہ پاک اس کا بدلہ لے بھی لے گا آپ سے, تو آپ کو کون پھر کمپنسیٹ کرے گا جب اللہ بھی آپ سے ناراض ہو گیا؟ جب اللہ جل مجدہ ناراض ہے تو شیطان بھی قیامت والے دن آپ کو چھوڑ دے گا, دنیا میں بھی وہ چھوڑا ہوا ہے لیکن آخرت میں تو وہ چھوڑے گا, وہ کہے گا کہ دیکھو تم میرے پیچھے چلے, تم نے غلط کام کیے, تم نے دین کا مذاق اڑایا, سنت پہ تم نہیں چلے, اپنی زندگی مگے مگن, میری شادی کس طرح ہو جائے, میرا کاروبار کس طرح, اسی میں یہ بھی ضروریات زندگی ہیں, نیسیسٹیز ہیں, لیکن یہ مقصد نہیں انسان کا. یاد رکھے جو سیدنا علی رضی اللہ تعالیٰ عنہ سیڈ, دیٹ دیئر تھری تھنگز, ون از دی پرپز آف لائف, ون از دی نیسیسٹیز آف لائف, ون از دی ڈیزائرز آف لائف, ہیو سم سینس اینڈ ڈیفرینشیٹ بٹوین دیم. پرپز آف لائف is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's pleasure, success in the akhirah. Necessities are like food, marrying, eating, drinking, living necessities that you need. And desires is wanting more and more, when different kind of desires and wishes which people have. So Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala said, when something clashes with the purpose, even a necessity like food, drink, marrying, the need of actually sexual gratification or hunger, if it clashes with the purpose, it is not lawful for you to eat certain food, to possess someone else's money, then sacrifice that your need. If it clashes with the pleasure of Allah, meaning the purpose which is for you. And if it doesn't clash with that, then fulfill it. Similarly, if desires, they don't clash with the necessities, they don't clash with the pleasure of Allah, the purpose, then fulfill them. If they do, then actually do not fulfill them, because then you are loser, then you are losing greater desires which are coming in akhirah. But here we have made a cocktail and mixture of everything, nor we are clear what is the purpose of life, nor what is necessities, nor actually what are desires, and actually then we are suffering, mixing everything. It's like a person who is a student. His purpose is to obtain education and obtain a degree or something. His necessities are food, sleeping, drinking, food, etc. These necessities. His desires are his hobbies. Football, playing games, that's his hobbies, desires. Now, if he, for example, is not going to the college or university, missing exams, missing, and is just say eating in the canteen, drinking in the canteen, sitting there eating and drinking, and someone says that there is an important exam, there is an important lesson for you, why are you not attending class? He says, well, how will I live without eating? Don't you know food is necessary? No one lives without food. So I mean, don't disturb me. And then the next lesson comes, he's sleeping. Brother, it is lesson time. He says, well, if I don't sleep, how will I live? How foolish is that? That's what we are doing. When the awliya, when the ulama, sulaha, they invite us towards that, look, my brothers, sisters, we should, our purpose is now the time for salah, is the purpose. Now it is the time for sacrifice to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We say, oh, I have bringing up children, how, what shall I do about that? That is also necessary. Going to the market to get food is necessary. Working is necessary. But these are your necessities, they are not your purpose. And what to say about that student who is sitting and playing games in the computer or in the PlayStation, and there the lessons are going, the exams are going, and he is just happy, meaning in his hobbies. And he, if you ask him, he says, well, the purpose of academics is actually to attain degree and be happy. I am happy here. Well, that's his understanding at that level. Temporal happiness, temporal gratification he's getting. But what when the bills will come, when he'll have to pay for food, there will be no electricity even actually to play a game. Then what is going to happen? Then he's going to cry and weep and be agony. That is our state as well. That's why what we are doing. When people say, when awliya, ulama, sulaha, they do nasiha, the brothers, you should pay attention to the purpose of life. And we say, no, so if it means peace, I am happy, I feel very buzzed actually and very enjoyment when I take one drugs or alcohol or commit zina or actually just sleep. I am enjoying. But this is the enjoyment of the type which I am saying to you. So the wise person in every aspect, whichever task you are doing, know your what is the purpose, what is the, your necessities, and then work your way around it. So Rasulullah also knew that he has to eat, his body has a right, but why he was suffering sometimes 2 days, 3 days without food, and he would tie stones around his waist. Why? Didn't he know this is a right of the body? But he thought that the purpose is greater, to convey the message and to abstain from haram. So he, Abu Salam, sacrificed these things. And we are doing, but actually then, everyone is doing good on their own, whatever they think. Another thing, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, there are various verses of the Quran where Allah has very clearly specified, for example, وَمَا مِن دَابَّةٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ إِلَّا عَلَى اللَّهِ رِزْقُهَا. There is no living thing on the earth, be it animal, be it tree, be it human being, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, upon me is his risk, more or less, how much I want to give him, I've decided. But I will give him risk. So dunya, the risk which is going to come to you, Allah has already promised it's going to come to you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, it is upon me to provide you risk, to give you. Less or more, how much ever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decided. But there is no verse of the Quran, there is no hadith which says that Allah has taken responsibility to give you rizq of Jannah, or to give rizq in the Akhirah, or to take you to Jannah. Allah has not taken responsibilities in anywhere that he said that, do whatever you like, I've taken responsibility to take you in Jannah and give you their dwelling places and palaces and food to drink. There's no verse like that. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, for akhirah, man arad al akhirah, sa'alaha wa sa'yaha. Whoever intends for akhirah, he has to do effort. Then I will actually reward and give him the result of it. But for dunya, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, some way or the other you can get. At least from begging you can get rizq sometime. Some people, for example, are begging. They're saying, give us food, poor people, needy people. People give them, people send them money in charity. But regarding akhirah, it comes in the Quran, وَنَادَى أَصْحَابُ النَّارِ أَصْحَابُ الْجَنَّةِ. On the day of judgment, when there will be people of Jannah enjoying their pleasures, and people of hell, actually now in the, for them facing their consequences, they will say to the people of Jannah, وَنَادَى أَصْحَابُ النَّارِ أَصْحَابُ الْجَنَّةِ. The people of hell will say to the people of Jannah, أَنَّفِيذُ عَلَيْنَا مِنَ الْمَاءِ أَوْ مِمَّا رَزَقَكُمُ اللَّهِ. Please, we beg you, give us few sips of water, what Allah has given you, some risk which Allah has given us as well. You have everything free. No one, you don't have, you have abundance. Please give us little bit. They are begging now, like people beg here. But they will say, yes, we have risk. We have abundance. قَالُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ حَرَّمَهُمَا. Allah has now made it haram. Like you thought good things you made haram upon yourself. It's as though you are putting a person towards prayers, towards righteousness, towards the path of Allah. It's as though something is unlawful and haram and dangerous. You have to convince them so much. You have to push them so much. You have to encourage them so much as though they should. But now they will say, إِنَّ اللَّهَ حَرَّمَهُمَا. Now Allah has made haram, meaning He has denied, He has commanded us not to give you both of these things. So in Akhirah, let aside Allah taking responsibility, He has said that even you will beg, you won't get. And here, you see day and night, some people become, they receive through heredity, through other things, some lawful businesses or begging benefits. There are so many ways Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving rizq to everyone actually who wants, who He has destined for that. So understand, again I say, one thing Allah has taken responsibility for, providing me here. And I am exerting all my effort towards that thing which Allah has already taken responsibility, I am going to give you. And I am also working for that. All the time, 100%. And something which Allah has said, no, here this thing I am not going to give you, you have to work. There I am not working. I'm saying, oh, Allah is Ghafoor Rahim, He will forgive me anyway. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and where the matter of dunya is, and I am actually 24 hours thinking about it actually, and working 8 hours, etc., etc. But I understand that I will earn. How will I earn? I will work. But regarding that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wazzawajal said that rizq is upon me. The dunya I will provide you. Doesn't mean He said that everyone I am going to provide millionaires, they will be millionaires. Some people, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala test. He said in the Quran that I give different levels of rizq to people to test them, some more, some less. If it was just enjoyment and pleasure, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would have given everyone abundance, because there is no lackness in the treasures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But here, because test, everything is given differently. Health is given differently, don't you see? Some people are more healthy, some are more, height is more, some are low, some are medium build, some are wide. In Jannah it's not going to be like this. Because here there is testing everything. Some are given children. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, يَهَبُوا لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ إِنَاسُمْ. Whoever He wills, He gives females, daughters. وَيَهَبُوا لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ ذَكُورُ. Whoever He wills, He gives them males, meaning baby boys. وَيَهَبُوا لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ إِنَاسُمْ وَذَكُورًا. And whoever He wants, also in the further part He said He gives both of them. وَيُزَوِّجُهُمْ ذُكْرَانَ وَإِنَاثًا وَيَجْعَلُ مَنْ يَشَاءُ أَقِيمًا. And whoever he wills, he keeps them actually without children. So, giving baby boys, Salah's mother said, baby girls, both of them, not giving both of them, they are all forms of test. It's not actually that Allah is happy with the person who he gives more children to him, he is happy. This is not a sign. There are many, many sinners who had children, but look at the most of the mothers of believers, our mothers, the wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, most of them, they don't have any children at all. Amma Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala don't have children at all, no daughter, no son. The other Zainab also, from Rasulullah, no children. Umm Salama radiallahu ta'ala, no children. Hazrat Hafsa, the daughter of Sayyidina Umar bin Khattab, no children at all. Only Sayyida Khadija al-Kubra had most children, and only one child from Sayyida Maria radiallahu ta'ala anha. And rest of the nine wives of the Prophet Islam, they don't. So where is it? So these are not signs of success or symbols of success or anything. All is actually the forms of actually tests which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. So in one of the teaching, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned, I'm just summarizing it to you. He said the world is suited and perfected for testing people. The world is suited and perfected, is perfect for testing people. It's not perfect for enjoyment. That's why one of the non-Muslims, they asked that if God, Allah is perfect, how can the world be imperfect? If Allah is perfect, why there is imperfection in what He has made? Because a perfect person, an artist makes a perfect picture, a perfect artist makes something, a perfect manufacturer makes perfect product. And this world is the product of Allah. And if Allah is perfect, why there is imperfections here? So the answer which was given to him was that the world is perfect. World is perfect. He said, then how is the world perfect? There are so many people dying from hunger, there are so many war, so many people disabled, so many people ill, etc. How can the world be perfect then? So it was said to them that the world is perfect for testing people. It's not perfect for enjoyment. Who have said to you it is for enjoyment? For enjoyment and pleasure, Akhirah is perfect. So that's why Jannah is perfect from that point of view. And this world is perfect as well as a testing ground. Every day you are testing. So those people who trying to find enjoyment, eternal pleasure, here they are finding it on the wrong place. It's never going to be there. Which king lived forever? Which person stayed in youthful age forever? This is nothing. So Prophet ﷺ said, this world is suited and perfected for testing people. So be ready for that. Do not be fooled by its temporal enjoyments. Do not be fooled, because enjoyments are also for testing here. It is merely a mirage which you see, but its consequence of falling for it will cost you your souls. Mirage, you understand? Mirage is that in the desert, if you go now, because of the reflection of the sun, and this, you see as though when you see in the desert and very thirsty, and you see far away, it looks that there is a pond. There is a pond of water there. There is water there. But that's just a reflection. When you go there is nothing, it's desert. So the Prophet ﷺ said that this is merely a mirage. Meaning mirage, meaning actually a deception that shaitan and the nafs are showing you this enjoyment and pleasure. Those people who have pursued these matters, who are advancing in drugs, who is advancing in zina, who is advancing in alcohol, who is advancing in gangstership. Look at their lives, how much success they are achieving. What is the pleasure they are achieving? What are they achieving? But he said that something costs money, something cost health, but if you are deceived by shaitan on this, it will cost you your souls. It will cost your ruh, meaning your ruh only. Here the most loss is body, I become ill, I've lost money, I had food, I lost a house, I lost a car, I lost a relationship with the person. But spirit is in you. And in akhirah you will lose your spirit, meaning the ruh will be actually also in azab. So here Islam said, your actions, your thoughts and feelings will be tested and recorded with every movement which passes by. Remember three things: your actions, your thoughts and your feelings are tested and recorded. So these three things, the feelings you bring upon yourself and the thoughts and the actions, they are all being recorded and with every movement. So what can a person do? So the Prophet is answering now. What can a person do if we are being tested so harshly, that our actions are tested, our thoughts are tested, our feelings are a test? So here Islatu Islam said, so act in my reflection. Just follow me. That's what I came for. Act like me, think like me, feel like me, and you are successful. So act in my reflection, my sunnah, and ways of obedience. For there is radiated light which enters the one who follows my sunnah. Maya, there is radiated light, there is nur which enters the person, inner self, the heart and mind, who follows my sunnah. Every sunnah has a light in it. And a darkened smoke which enters those who fail to listen and who follow the shaitan. A smoke like, you may say, zulma and darkness enters those people. That's why you see there is actually light upon the pious, in the hearts of the pious, and the dark and the darkness upon the sinner. For surely there is a great message which awaits for all. The one who enters the door of darkness to the one who enters the door of light. Meaning for both of them, if you enter the door of darkness, which is a door, a way to shaitan and actually sins, and the door of light, which is sunnah, I said, a great message is waiting for you. You hear messages on my phone, your phone, on email, messages come through letters, messages come. Some are more important, some are less. But here Ali Sadhu Islam saying, the greatest message, more than an email or phone you are going to see, is still waiting for you, which Allah will give you that message. Which will be a message that now forever, or for you, it is success and you are in enjoyment and you are in bliss, or actually the message will be otherwise. To abide, here is Adhu Islam, to abide by in our words, one become closer to the door of light in the hereafter. But those who fail to abide, live in our words, he shall become closer to the door of darkness and the fire, where he shall be trapped in both worlds. Darkness will be his friend. So really a sinner, a disbeliever, they are already in darkness and in fire. Internally there is already a darkness because of the darkness which has entered. There is no sukoon, there is no peace in the sinner. You've sinned many times. Look, just ponder, when you've done a big sin, do you feel peace after? Do you feel enjoyment after? It's only like Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala said, sin is temporal enjoyment and regret and agony forever. And virtue and good deeds is temporal hardship and peace and enjoyment forever. So let's say a person who gets up for Fajr prayer, yes, it's hard, it's wudu, not to do wudu, it's cold weather. But he does. But after he have prayed, he thanks Allah SWT. He said, good, I got up. And he feels peace that I've done a good thing. He becomes satisfied. Although he have suffered some hardship. And that person who is sleeping and oversleeps, and actually the prayer become qada, although he's sleeping till 10, 11, But his day is darkened. He feels gloom inside. Although, so where is that pleasure which was temporal only? So that's how other things are. That's what the Prophet ﷺ is referring to. From my again, so pay heed. Pay heed, meaning pay attention to my ways and you shall enter the light of Sunnah. Because everyone claims love of Allah and Rasulullah. They say, I love Allah, I am a very good person now, our inside, etc., etc. But the Mashaykh have said, the love have 3 degrees. One is like, they will give an example, a seed in the ground. Can you see it? You can't see it, but the seed is in there. Then it's a plant, like this, for example, the plant has grown. Second degree. Third is the fruit. When it gives fruit to benefit others. So plant has 3 lives. One is when it is seed, no one can see. Second is when it becomes a plant. And the third when, for example, the fruit is on their benefit. This is the example of the love of Rasulullah. Some people say, I have love of the Prophet, I love Allah and His Messenger. But you see no effect on them. We don't deny you don't have love, but it's only a seed of love you have. We can't see any effect on your body, on your mind, on your heart, anything. No plant. It's inside. This is not good enough. The Prophet ﷺ said, "La yu'minu ahadukum hatta akuna habba ilayhi." None of you can be a believer until, what did he say? Until you love me? No. He didn't say that. He said, until my love is more than everything else, everyone else. Everything and everyone else. Just love as a seed level. Yes, I like Rasulullah, but many kuffar like the Prophet. They read about him, they praise about him, they write poetry, they write naats about Rasulullah. Many Hindus have written, many Sikhs have written, many Christians have praised, and they like the Prophet. But their likeness is actually like the seed, it's inside. No iman. So many of us, maybe shaitan is deluding me and you, yes, I love Allah. Brother, you know, I'm very good at heart. Well, it means that there's seed in you. Don't it? It means that you're very weak level. When you say, you know, outside you see me doing all these wrong things and things, and actually going here and jumping and dancing, but I'm very good at heart. You have the seed of goodness, maybe. Seed of love. But it's not good enough. Because the second level is when the seed comes out and you can see the plants. The plants mean when you can see the love, the effect of the love of the Sunnah of Rasulullah. The love of the Prophet is the seed, and his outward Sunnah are the plants. So when the plant, this beard is a plant. You not see it's a plant. The topi you are wearing is a plant. The way of eating, the way of drinking, the clothing you wear, because it's outward form. Because when that looks like Rasulullah, you are emulating him. This is like that your love has come to the next level, is the level of plant now actually. You can see the effects growing. You can see the person is Rafiq, the person is gentle, he's kind in his words, he has good akhlaq, he has good moral. These are like the He's a good mother. He's following the prophetic way of eating, walking, business, marrying, in all matters. This is now that he has the love like the plant that has come out. Now you can see the leaves. And the third is when that the plant has fruit and it benefits others. That is when this love of Rasulullah ﷺ comes so much that this person now gives dawah to others. He becomes a source of guidance for others. He is sharing the fruit of sunnah with others and everyone. Now his love is the most complete one. Now you can look at yourself and your 24 hours and your life in public and private to see which level of love you have of Rasulullah and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's only seela, I'm very good at heart, I'm a very spiritual person, but it's only physically I do all shaitanic things. Well, that is actually weakness. That is not good enough inside, because you are not going to be judged on what you have inside. You are going to be judged what you do outside, outwardly as well, which confirm. You have good thoughts. Have you seen a person who kills people every month, who defrauds people, and actually who does all kind of evil things, and he says, brothers, I have very good thoughts, very pious thoughts pass my mind and heart. I always think about good things. Many times I think about good things. Everyone should live in peace, etc., etc. I have all these good things. Will that make this person any good? By just his thoughts are good? No, until he puts them into action. Similarly, this is an also answer for those people who keep complaining about the bad thoughts and waswas. If you are doing goodness outwardly, salah, fulfilling the rights of creation, bringing up your children, fulfilling the rights of wife, the parents, and living as a peaceful citizen and human being, and then you have many, many bad thoughts of killing, of kufr, and all these things come in you, they don't make you any bad person. Like they won't make you any good person. If a person is doing outwardly bad things, we can't say he's a good person because what he thinks. And he says that, for example, I have good thoughts now and then. It doesn't make him. Similarly, a person who is acting righteously, he's fulfilling the obligation, the fara'id, the wajibat. And now and then shaitan puts bad thoughts, you should not be bothered with it. You say, Allah will never judge me on these things. Already know that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, bringing two hadith together now, what I'm saying, four things my ummah, Allah has excused my ummah from. He has discharged my ummah. He has forgiven four things from my ummah. Zul Islam sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ne farmaya, char cheezon ko Allah Taala ne meri ummat se maaf kar diya hai. Un par uski pakad nahi hai. Number one, things done out of forgetfulness. Bhool se jo galti hui. Bhool se galti ho jaye, Allah Taala ne maaf ka elan kiya hua hai. Hazur Islam ne farmaya na. Dekhna, aap roze mein kha lete hain. Aapko koi gunah nahi, balki khana bhi kha liya aur gunah bhi nahi hai. Bhool ke. Adam Alaihi Salam ke bare mein Allah Taala ne farmaya, Adam ne phal khaya. فَنَسِي آدَم, لیکن بھول کے کھایا تو وہ انبیاء تو ہوتے ہی معصوم ہیں, وہ گناہ کیسے کر سکتے ہیں, وہ تو انہوں نے پھل کھایا, بھول, اللہ پاک نے فرمایا بھول کے کھایا, تو بھول وہ معاف ہے اللہ پاک نے, لیکن وہ ان کا درجہ تھا, اللہ پاک نے ان کو جو بھی ان کے ساتھ معاملہ فرمایا, انبیاء کا درجہ اونچا ہوتا ہے, معصوم ہوتے ہیں گناہوں سے, صغیرہ کبیرہ, بچپن, پہلے, بعد میں, اعلان نبوت کے, ہر طرح ان کی روحیں بھی پاک, جسم بھی پاک, سارا. ایک تو, so one thing out of forgetfulness. Secondly, things done accidentally. The hadith comes that things done accidentally, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has overlooked. This is mercy of Allah. This is now rahmah of Allah. When you think Allah is rahim, rahman, this is what it means. Now look here, how many leeways, how many flexibilities he has given you. But if you want to be a devil and rebellious and then hope from the mercy of Allah, then you are a fool. You are not going to get the mercy of Allah. You think you will fool Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? No. You are. It is not actually. Shaitan also says in the Quran, it comes when he does bad things, after he says, Inni akhafu Allah rabbal alameen. I fear Allah, the Lord of the worlds. That's what he says as well sometimes now. But he's saying this will help him on the day of judgment. Not going to help him. Because his actions are wrong. He says, I fear Allah. Kai log hai wo kehte hain, main to khuda se bahut darta hu bhai, galat kaam se bahut darta hu. Allah pe umeed hai, Allah pak bahut dar hai mujhe. Is dar ka kya fayda? Jo amal mein dar nahi nazar aa raha. Amal mein to na dar ho gaya banda. Aur wo kya? To shaitan bhi kehta hai, ye surat hashr mein hai. کہ شیطان بعض دفعہ کہتا ہے کہ انی اخاف اللہ, میں بھی اللہ سے ڈرتا ہوں, لیکن یہ اس کا دھوکہ ہے, وہ بیوقوف بن رہا ہے, جبلانے کی کوشش کر رہا ہے. اسی طرح آپ, میں بھی اگر گناہ اور غلط کام, ننگے نیترے کر رہے ہیں, سب کچھ چھوڑ کے وہ اللہ رسول کو بھول کے صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم کو, پھر وہ بیوقوفی ہے, رحمت کی امید نہیں ہے, وہ بے امید تو ہوتی ہے عمل کے بعد. اب کہتے ہیں نا, فلاں عورت امید سے ہے, بھئی وہ پریگننٹ ہے, ان کو بچہ ہونا, وہ کہتے ہیں اب اس نے شادی ہی نہیں کی, نکاح ہی نہیں ہوا, بھی خامل کے ساتھ کٹھی ہیں, پھر کیسے امید لگے گی اس کو؟ وہ تو پھر جیسے مریم علیہ السلام ہے رضی اللہ تعالیٰ عنہ, وہ معجزہ تھا, وہ ہو گیا. امید جو ہوتی ہے ہمیشہ, کسان بھی دیکھیں, فارمر بھی یہ انڈرسٹینڈ کرتا ہے کہ پہلے بیج ڈالتا ہے پھر کہتا ہے دعا کرو اللہ پھل کی امید ہے, فصل کی امید, اچھی فصل ہو, اچھی گندم ہو, اچھا باجرا ہو, اچھا فروٹ ہو. امید تو ہمیشہ عمل کے بعد ہوتی ہے, تو عمل کر کے امید رکھنا یہ امید ہے, عمل کے بغیر امید رکھنا یہ بے وقوفی ہے. تو دوسرا رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم نے ارشاد فرمایا کہ جو بندہ بھول کے عمل کر لے کوئی تو اللہ اس کو معاف کر دے گا, اپنے فضل کا پھر بھی اس کو معافی مانگنی چاہیے. تھرڈ تھنگ دی پروفیٹ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم سیڈ, اف سم ون از فورسڈ ٹو ڈو سم ون, اف یو آر فورسڈ, کسی کو مجبور کیا گیا ہے, کتنا ہی بڑا گناہ ہے کسی کو مجبوری سے وہ کرا دیا گیا ہے, مجبور کر دیا گیا اس کو جان کی دھمکی دے کے, تو وہ معاف ہو جاتا ہے. اسی لیے کہتے ہیں کہ جو زنا بالجبر ہے, مطلب کوئی عورت ہے, بچی ہے, اللہ نہ کرے سب کی عزتوں کی حفاظت فرمائے, کوئی اس کی زبردستی, تو وہ اس بچی پر, اس عورت پر کوئی گناہ نہیں, نہ ہی اس کو جو کوئی دنیاوی سزا ہے شرعی, بس وہ مرد کو سزا ملے گی بلکہ اس کو اجر ملے گا کہ اس کو تکلیف سے اور اس پر ظلم ہوا جو ذہنی زبردستی. اسی طرح کوئی بندہ قرآن جید میں آتا ہے کہ اف یو سم ون از فورسنگ یو ٹو say words of kufr while putting a pistol on your head, then I'm going to press the trigger if you don't. The highest level is that you still say truth, meaning at least we don't commit shirk with the tongue even. But there are all kinds of people in people. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if any weakness person, he says that wrong thing about Allah even, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, illa man ukriha wa qalbuhu mutma'innu bil iman, if his heart is satisfied with me, I won't actually hold him any responsible. So if you are forced, so first one, forgetfulness, second, accidentally, like Rasulullah alayhi wasallam said, you are going, for example, along the streets and you accidentally, you are looking at the, for example, women or any scene which you shouldn't be, he said this is forgiven. But when you don't look accident, that is when the sin comes. Accidentally you look 1,000 times, there is no sin, but rather you get virtue by abstaining from it. So sins, things done accidentally. And fourthly, the Prophet ﷺ said, Inna Allah Ta'ala, Allah the Most High, has overlooked my ummah from what? From bad thoughts and waswas, unless they practice them or speak about them or practice them, they are forgiven. تو چوتھی چیز جو ہے, اللہ نبی علیہ السلام نے فرمایا کہ میری امت کو اللہ پاک نے برے خیالات سے, وسوسوں سے معاف کر دیا ہے, جو بھی وہ غلط سوچیں, برے خیالات, ان کو معاف کر دیا ہے, یہاں تک کہ اس پر عمل نہ کرے. تو آپ دیکھیں کتنی آسانی ہو گئی, اللہ پاک نے چھوٹ دے دی کہ جو غلطی سے ہو گیا, بھول سے, وہ بھی معاف, ایکسیڈنٹلی ہو گیا وہ بھی معاف, اور جو جس پر مجبور کیا گیا وہ بھی معاف, اور بری سوچوں پر بھی پکڑ نہیں. تو اللہ پاک نے تو آسان بنا دیا ہمارے لیے بہت, یہی رحمت ہے جو ہے, یعنی اللہ جل مجدہ کی یہی فضل ہے اللہ کا, کہ اللہ پاک نے سکور کرنا ہمارے لیے, نیکی کو سکور کرنا, گناہ کو مشکل بنا دیا. اینڈ دین مور اوور دی پروفیٹ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم سیڈ, سم ٹائم پیپل آر ابسٹینگ, دے آر اسٹیڈ فاسٹ, دے آر ڈوئنگ رائٹیس تھنگ, بٹ سڈنلی سم بیڈ تھنگ ہیپن, suddenly they commit a sin intentionally. Even I was talking about those things are forgiven, but now I say about something which you did intentionally. Even if you did something intentionally, for few hours the angels do not write it. Imagine Rasulullah said it's about six hours or more, or a few hours you may say, that sin is not written. So it's not that you are doing good things that suddenly you've done big disaster and you say, oh, finish now, my matter is finished, I've destroyed everything. And then sometimes the result is the hopelessness, then on the basis of that you sometimes commit other sins because you've done one now. You know, they say this bowl is now out, actually the genie is out of the bottle now, so let the bottle stay out, open. No, still you have few hours to close it down again. Do tawbah, it's as though you've not done anything. You are same as before. Because angels didn't record it. So these are mercies. So that's why the course of Tariqah Muhammadiyya, it helps you to minimize the sins and maximize the virtues. And this is how you can become successful. Remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, and in the tafsir it comes that many sinful people will go in Jannah. Many sinful people, you can go in Jannah when you will have some sin. You see, how can I go? If you have more virtues than sins, you are going to Jannah. So it's not that you should have a clean slate only to be successful. Minimum success to enter Jannah only is that you are, that's what believing in Mizan, believing in the scales mean. Have me and you ever thought what does it mean? That we believe in the Mizan, we believe the Amal will be weighed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran in many, many ayat, فَأَمَّا مَنْ ثَقُلَتْ مَوَازِينُ فَهُوَ فِي عِيشَةِ الرَّاضِيَةِ. The ones who will have the scales heavy, meaning virtues, what does that mean? He will have sins as well, but his good deeds are heavier. He will be in a good life. He will be in Aish. He will be in Jannah. And he said, وَأَمَّا مَنْ خَفَّتْ مَوَازِينُهُ فَأُمُّهُ هَاوِيَةٌ. Whoever will actually have his scales lighter, meaning the good deeds will be lighter, bad deeds will be more, he will be going to the place, his asal or his origin, because where that's from, where the sins origin from, the zulma in hellfire. فَأُمُّهُ هَاوِيَةٌ. His mother is Hawiya. He's going to reach in the lap of Jahannam. وَمَا أَدْرَكَ مَا هِيَ. What is it? نَارٌ حَامِيَةٌ. It is fire. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala actually has ignited. So you see how easy it is to go to Jannah. Firstly, four things you are forgiven anyway. Fifthly, if you do something bad, you have 6 hours to be clean later. Clean record is clean. And sixthly, even if you have bad deeds but the good deeds are more, you are actually successful. So it is, as we, the Mashayikh actually say, it's easy, it's very easy to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and very difficult to please dunya. Very difficult. Dunya never actually becomes pleased with you. They say, do more, give more, give more. That's what they keep saying. Look at people. Business people are not satisfied. Spouses are not satisfied. They saying, give me more. The governments are saying, give us more. The public is saying, give us more. Others are saying, demand. They're never satisfied. So I say, the most easiest person to please is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and most difficult person to displease is also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because He gives you so many chances which no one else is going to give you. People, if you do one wrong thing and they will, you've done so many favors to them, and once you don't do, they say, oh, everything is now down the gutter. You've been giving money, you've been giving help, lift to a, once you don't help them, they'll just put everything there. Forget. Turn their backs. So, you've done wrong with someone, very people, you have asked forgiveness, people are not asking, I'm not going to forgive you. I said, I'll teach you a lesson. When you go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah never says this. He becomes rather so happy that Rasulullah said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala extremely becomes pleased when a person asks repentance. He doesn't make you any use of you or taunts you saying or anything. Even makes the angels forget. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, my servant have done repentance, now their book of records become deleted. Tawbah is the button of delete. They see in the books there were 1,000 pages of sin, and now there is nothing. Rather, if a person have done tawbah and nasuha, which is higher level of tawbah. One is minimum level of tawbah, one is higher level. Minimum level of tawbah is when your sins are forgiven. Higher level of tawbah than nasuh, which is a higher degree tawbah, when you do that tawbah, one of the benefit is that your sins get changed into virtues. So not only that the Amal's book is clean, but angels say, firstly, for instance, zina, lying, riba, and all these things, and now it is become dhikr, salah, tahajjud. Good God, Christ, what's happened? And it is tawbah and nasuh of the person. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has become done a favor. to the person. So that's why I say the easiest person to deal with, to be with, is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wa azza wa jal. And with the creation, most difficult. If you have to give them, and they want more and more and more. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you, does not take anything from you, ever. Rather, if you do little, He gives you more. And He does not benefit at all. So people think it's easy to please shaitan. Has shaitan become pleased with you? Me and you are day and night pleasing him and our nafs. Is your nafs satisfied? Are you satisfied? You've done enough sins? You don't want to do more zina? You don't want to do more bad sins? Is satisfied? The nafs is satiated? The desires have died down? If they have not died down from sins, this means that your nafs is not happy with you yet. He said, do more. I want you to more do shaitan thing. You ask shaitan, are you happy with me? He said, no, I'm not happy. Do more. It's very difficult. If you ask people, community, relatives, it's very difficult to keep people happy. So I'm saying to you, it is easier to keep Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam happy. But shaitan makes you understand otherwise. He thinks, no. Keeping the nafs happy is easy. But it's difficult because it's not been pleased with you. Up to now it has not become. Shaitan is not pleased with you. Although we are doing many, many bad things and many, many other things. They're not. Dunya is not pleased with you. They want you more. Employers are not pleased. They want more and things and to live up to the standard and etc. etc. So understand very clearly that actually the most easiest person to have a relationship with Allah, the most sincere relationship with Allah, the most person who you can do mistakes and live with Him is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who will actually forgive you mistakes, major and minor, one after the other. Forgetfulness here. Many in human beings, they don't forgive you if you forgot something. If you forget something, they say, well, you are set now because we have suffered with you. What shall we do with your forget? You accidentally press this button, you are sacked. Bad thoughts, if you are thinking evil of someone and the other person, will he forgive you? You are sitting with him and you are thinking, how shall I kill him? How shall I defraud him? And then you say, well, I am only thinking, you know. What will he say? He say actually that I'm not going to forgive you. You have such thoughts about me. And I just mentioned to you that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if you think bad even about me, you are forgiven. Bad waswasa comes from shaitan and intention about Allah even. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you are forgiven that. Even though he knows that. So the Tariqah Muhammadiyya course actually, at minimum level, it maximizes your virtues, minimizes the bad deeds, and you have 110% chance of success. Whilst if you finish completely avoid the sins and excel in virtue, then you become a special friend and virtuous person and a wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then it is different world. But just to become successful, be saved from the punishment of hell and the grave and everything, it's easy if a person wants to do it. It's not hard at all. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, another thing, and I will finish on that, here is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, if you avoid major sins, I will forgive you, I will make kafara, expiate your minor sins anyway, without actually even you repenting. Without you repenting, your minor sins are forgiven. So if you avoid kabair, like zina, alcohol, ghibah, and other things, like kabira sins, and then you have other sins, like the Prophet ﷺ said, a person who comes toward mosque, with every step, one sin is forgiven. How many steps you take? And when he does wudu, his hand sins are forgiven, washed away. When he does kulli, rinsing mouth, his mouth sin. When he washes his face, his sins of his eyes are forgiven. And actually, when he does masah, then sins of his head and actually bad thinking, those are actually forgiven. The feet are given, washing the feet. So you can imagine that how actually it is attainable and most easily attainable, more easier than pleasing the dunya and shaitan and the nafs and all these things misuse you, abuse you, and then actually leave you away. They are like, shaitan is like these people who kidnap people and children, and then they do slave labor. They take slave labor from them, and then actually leave them to die whenever though. Or actually abuse them, women, men actually. That's what shaitan does. Much worse than that actually. That he firstly tries to kidnap you. How? Kidnap you, take you out of the obedience of Allah and out of the sunnah of Rasulullah SAW, brings you into his own world and then shows you some glittering things and then abuses you with sins and then actually leaves you to rot in hell forever actually. That's his strategy, sir. And Rasulullah SAW comes, he takes out people from the prison of shaitan, from the well of the nafs, from the darkness of the nafs out, brings him into the palace of his sunnah and sends him to Jannah forever and ever. That is the Prophet ﷺ, and that is shaitan. So know your enemy and know your friend. And inshallah, those brothers who have not started this process of purification, it's easy in the sense that there's no cost for it, there's no burden for it, there's no bath for it, there's no membership for it. Just actually learn the methodology after 10-15 minutes after the majlis, and inshallah convey. As you've seen people in Bangladesh, in Malaysia, other people, if they benefit, you don't benefit, it is just a deprivation. It's like the Prophet ﷺ was giving dawah, Meccans were not benefiting, and all other people, Yemen, other countries, and they were suffering actually in kufr and in sin. So no, actually, it is a pity that me and you do not benefit, and other people actually around the country, even who do not understand language, who don't understand what I say, but still they can actually understand the success, or somehow actually through translation, or actually like the awliya Allah, many of them, they went like the Sahaba Rizwan, they didn't know language. We don't understand this very well. Our ancestors, fathers, forefathers who came here, they didn't know English. Who went to Holland, they didn't know Dutch, they didn't have degrees in this language, they just came and you see they are doing, meaning still people who can't understand, and they actually are working. Similarly for Deen, as well you travel, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opens hearts of people, the people who have bond, and there is. Otherwise, you will live here, die like actually an ant in his own hole and in his own locality, actually, and finish. The dunya, same kind of dunya is going to come to you. And if you practice, convey the message, implement and convey to your locality, at least to your body first, and then actually, one person said, which people shall I convey the message to first? I say the first people are very close to you. This is your hands and feet. They are the first people who are most closest to you. They need conveying first. Because they are people as well, this is personal, they are people as well, they are your army and your organs are your people. First, most closest people, so implementing them, and then to your community, and then up to wherever you can. And we are not going to live forever, how much we are living. One day will come, you are enjoying now, when you will reach 30, 40, 50, even now you will become a burden, people will wait for you to die, even your own sons and daughters, wife and other. I've seen with my own eyes and heard the wife saying, someone, when is he going to die? Meaning that he has become a burden now. What they can do? They have lost their mind, they can't speak, they can't think. The husband is a burden and the wife is. The children are waiting as though the father, mother. Even the nurses here, what the khidma which they do, your own children won't do that. Your own wife would not do that. They are going for training. So before you become a burden upon everyone, and so much so, then where will be the films and the dramas and the games and the friends? Where will they be? They are also going one by one, actually, towards Akhirah. Friends are gone. Now there is no one to ask. Then time will come, even your own body will become burden. You won't be able to carry your body as well. You have to take up your hand and it will take time. It will become a burden. Your own body is going to become
a burden upon you, and then where will you be looking? It will be a dark future because you destroyed your life in the way of shaitan and the way of nafs. A dark future you will see. The earth, the qabr will look like a black hole to you. But if you have transformed and actually purified, and alhamdulillah, the more closer you go to death, the more light you will see. The qabr looks like not a hole but a palace of Jannah to you actually. And you are waiting for die. And a pious person, the more old he grows, the more value of his grows actually. The impious, they become a burden on society, on even children. They don't want what they are saying. One person, brother is saying, son is saying, you look after him, you look after him. The mother, oh, my mother is at least keeps saying this to me. She says 100 times this thing, I'm fed up, etc., etc. But when the pious and righteous, if you look at the life, the lives of awliya, the more old they grow, the more weaker their value, their respect, people think actually honored and privileged actually to actually serve them, to do their ziyarah, their role. That is what you are going to do. Imagine what's going to happen in the akhirah then. What privilege and what treatment they will get akhirah from angels, from anbiya alayhi salam, from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Similarly, there are people who wear clothes to make themselves more worthy. I want a 500-pound suit. Why? Because I have a valueless body, so I want to make it more valuable. That's the why. Otherwise, there are people who even 1-pound suit becomes more valuable when it touches their body. If it touches the body of Anbiya, it becomes so a blessing. If it touches the body of Wali, and like or awliya, imagine the worthless clothes, meaning the which is like a pound yard or something, they become so valuable in the sight of angels even, and in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts barakah in them. So be those people, be that person that who things touch and they receive value from you, not that you receive value from thing. One is that I sit in a big car, I am get more value. This means I am valueless, car is going to give me value. That's what it means. And then there is the awliya, anbiya, they used to sit on horses or donkeys or any even small car which is valueless, but the barakah and with their blessing, the value of the car or the horse increases. The value of the cloth. Rasulullah's clothes were patched many times. It has many patches. Why? The Prophet ﷺ, the clothes loved him. His kameez used to speak to him. His chadar used to speak to him. It loved him. He was the prophet of the everything. His clothes also recognized him. They used to love him. So he never won. Let aside the clothes are very close. Even the mountain of Uhud used to love him, which is a stone. Which after all, which is a stone. When the mountain of Uhud, Rasulullah said, I love Uhud and Uhud loves me. So his clothes used to love you. So if you become the righteous friend of Allah, even your clothes will love you. Animals will love you. The earth will love you. and these things only. So become that person that who things get value from, not who is valued by things. If you can put 1 million pound clothes upon yourself, you are still the same person as such. So those people who you are seeing, they are after glittery, after all these designer and things, they are all those people mostly that you not given put any value to their body with character, with piety, and now they want people to respect them because of the car, because of the designer clothes, because of the fashion. These people who are adopting fashion, strange cartoons they are making themselves, it's all they want attention. They said we are valueless, no one is going to look at us, no one is respecting us, so let's color my hair so that at least someone can see. Let's walk like actually a dog. Actually, that's what they say, this is a dog walk or this is a cat walk, as they say, actually, so that people look. But they forgot the prophetic, the walk of Rasulullah. Now they end up walking a cat walk. That's what actually happens. So a person will devalue themselves actually. And with Rasulullah's sunnah and his obedience in his ways, you are going to be elevated such actually that the things are going to be valued. The clothes will be blessed. The trees, everything will want to be closer to you. The Jannah will be calling you. The angel will be waiting for you. The whores in the Jannah are waiting for you. They say, when is this person coming? Otherwise, it's the opposite thing. Well, the ball is in your court. You are the decider. Unfortunately, in this world, we can't force anyone. It's only nasiha. It's only guidance. It's only reminder and encouragement we can give you. Rest is up for you. جزاكم الله أحسن الجزاء. استغفر الله. استغفر الله وتوب إليه سبحانه وتعالى.
Like the Sufi say, you could take a horse to water, but you can't make it drink. How much more do you need to know? On one side is just success and success, on the other side is failure. The choice is yours. Even those brothers who are on the course of sanctification, put your hands up. All those brothers that are on the course. What more do you need to hear for more motivation? There is only success lies and follow it more and more with more conviction. And if there is any brother here who wants to start, somebody will sit with you and explain to you how it works. Please put your hand up. MashaAllah. MashaAllah. Brother, your name?
Nabi.
MashaAllah. Is there anybody else? Well, if somebody is too shy to put their hand up, you can sit with the brothers and sit under them. You want to give your name?
Yeah.
MashaAllah. Also, there is a Jamaat, a spiritual camp this Friday in Chitanel. For 3 days, you should participate in that. It takes you away from the dunya, and then you can contemplate, learn certain things, learn du'as, etiquettes, things you don't normally get time to do. Also, you get into going the path of Allah. There's great virtues for that. It's work of Anbiya, you spread the message. So please participate in that. There's also, brothers have already gone to Pakistan, and there is a Jamaat going to Pakistan, and from then, for another 2-3 weeks, then it's Indonesia, Singapore, and then it goes on and on, and all these Jamaats are going. Please participate in with them. I remember 4 years ago, we went on Umrah, about 4 years ago, and there's only about 70 odd people on the queue then, and we were talking about, you know, sending out Jamaats to other parts of the country and other parts of the world, and doing TV, and I scratched my head and I thought, how is that possible? And 5-6 years from now, it's the book of Allah, it will never stop. But if you are part of that, then you've gained. And if you've just been sitting and listening, inshallah, will go next time, inshallah, the work will carry on. You will have missed out. You will have missed out. At that time, there was only about 70 brothers. Now there is literally thousands and thousands spread across the world. And if you've been a part of that, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward you immensely for that. And then it's still, the feet is still going, and we still need brothers to spread the word of Allah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not need you to spread His name and His deen. It will stay, He's guaranteed. So please participate in that for your own welfare. So whenever you hear about things going to other parts of the world and other parts of the country, please participate in that for your own benefit. JazakAllah, you will be notified as time goes by.
سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت. I am also going on a journey, inshallah, tomorrow. So for 2 months. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you. And if we do not see each other, this is my last words, which you have heard, which are the meaning nasiha, which means success. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in this month also gave the last nasiha and wasiya before departure. So this world is separation and union will be carry on, but actually we don't want to face each other on the day of judgment, or in, for example, in the grave, in a bad situation, in a hell or in a azab, actually, because there me and you will not be able to help each other. Here we can, worldly and also religiously. So take heed. Here, after 50, 60 years, you will completely see different people here sitting. Maybe your children, maybe your grandchildren, and me and you are going to go away. So جزاكم الله خيرا جزاء سبحانك اللهم بحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك. Now inshallah we'll do a short majlis of dhikr. Remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wa zawajat.
Astaghfirullah. Can I ask the Holy Spirit?